Hey, coaches, I'm here with our podcast producer, Bobby Richards. Bobby, how are you today?
I'm doing good.
Bobby, we're going to talk to listeners today who are worried about where their money is going to come from this year. They're worried about whether or not their coaching business is going to be able to grow. They're worried about leaving their job and starting a coaching business, or they're worried about whether or not there's going to be a season this year like there was last year where they don't know if they can pay the mortgage or keep being a coach or go look for another job. All of that concern, I believe we have the solution on today's episode.
And for that, I think everyone now is leaning in further to listen.
I really do believe it. People have tried what we're going to talk about on this episode, but they didn't try it in the way that we say to do it. And of course, all of you are wondering, what's the mystery? Today, we're going to talk about goal setting, but don't turn us off. Don't turn us off. There's a way to set goals that is very different when it comes to running a business that works a lot better. And you've not done it before. But today, we're going to teach you how to do it. With that, welcome to Coach Builder, a Business Made Simple podcast limited series to teach you exactly how to turn your skills and expertise into a successful coaching business. All of this is based on my new book, Coach Builder. It is out now. You can go get it on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. I am your host, Donald Miller. Bobby, are you a goal setter? Are you somebody who like sets goals and just gets obsessed about reaching goals?
I get obsessed about wanting to be the person that gets obsessed about setting goals and reaching goals. I love setting goals and creating lists.
Yeah.
I think that I have work to do when it comes to like then taking that goal, breaking it down to achieve it instead of feeling like, fast forward to the almost deadline day and going,
yeah.
Oh, shoot, I got to get this done.
So do you set goals and then review those goals? Do you set goals at all?
Are you
a goal setting guy?
Yeah. I definitely feel like I've flexed or I've strengthened that muscle after having worked here because of, you lay those frameworks out so great.
Yeah.
I definitely know I could be better at it.
Yeah.
But I love when I do that and when I have a clear path forward, it's the most relief and I can focus on exactly what needs to get done. So when I'm doing it right, I love that.
I love that.
But I know that I need to work on it.
For me, it's like I will set goals, but then if I get too micromanagey of those goals, they backfire on me.
Right.
I don't like being controlled, and so including in my relationship with myself.
Yes.
So what I have to do is kind of like trick myself and go, I suggest that you actually finish this book by the end of the year because, you know what I mean?
It's like, okay.
Yeah, like, don't get all too...
Makes you think, now we're getting real meta, and you're making you think like it was your idea.
That's right. And a lot of times it's just instead of quote unquote goal setting, it's sort of vision casting.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, I want to write a book about this and I want to have it done by the end of the year. So it's almost like suggestions rather than the other thing is I'm such a perfectionist that if I say every morning I'm going to do this and I skip a morning, I just quit.
You feel like you fail. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a failure.
Exactly.
And so instead it's like, no, I just pick up what I can do and try to be consistent. But it works. It works really well. I think goals are, they're underutilized, even though everybody talks about goals, they're really underutilized. And I think they're underutilized because the exact reason that we're talking about.
Yeah.
People have a bad relationship with goals because they felt like they were being controlled or they were locked into something or they missed one trip to the gym and now they're a failure.
Right.
And all that kind of stuff.
How can we help them? And I guess to a degree ourselves. Reestablish a healthy relationship with goals.
Well, we're talking about step 6 in the Coach Builder playbook. So if you're building a coaching business or a consulting business, you need to set goals. So your relationship with goals, it matters.
Mm-hmm.
If you are somebody who needs to set goals and look at them every single day and have somebody who keeps you accountable to those goals, that's one type of personality. I'm much more driven by vision than by goals.
Sure.
They're the same. Let's just be honest. They're absolutely the same. And I have to be able to dance with my goals. That is 2 steps forward, 1 step back, 2 steps forward, 1 step back without having a broken relationship if I take that step back.
Right.
And that's just, I've just learned that over the years. Everybody can figure out their own things. But what I want to talk about today is what step 6 in the book is about. It's not broken up by chapters. It's broken up by steps. So if you get the Coach Builder book, flip through it, you'll see step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Step 6 is all about setting goals. And once you figure out what sort of relationship that you have with goals, there's actually specific goals that you want to set in order to build a coaching business. And most coaches don't really know how to do this. One of the great things about setting goals and the way that I'm going to teach you to set goals is you can actually turn around and teach your clients to do the same thing with their business. They don't have a coaching business, but if you know how to establish goals and reach those goals, you can actually turn around and sell a product, you know, a goal setting process and an accountability process to your clients.
Because it's so foundational.
It is absolutely foundational.
Everybody's going to be hungry for it, even if they have their own system that they use.
Yep. So I'm going to walk you through it. And here's the first part of it. And the first part is there's several kinds of goals that you need. But the first part you need, and think about this from the perspective of your client. If you're a coach, think about walking your client through this. The very first thing that you need is a revenue goal. So this is probably the broadest, biggest category of goals. And I like two parts of this. If your client is running a company, they may say, well, you know, we did 8 million last year. You know, I'd like to have a 20% increase this year. So we'd like to go to 10 million. Okay, that's great. So 10 million is the overall revenue goal. The next goal is how much does your client want to bring in of that 10 million? You know, is it 500,000? Is it 1 million? You know, what is it? And now you've got that goal. And what's really beautiful about those two goals is we're going to bring in 10 million as a company, and as the owner of the business, I'm going to bring in 500,000. Great. Now what you've got to do is you've got to reverse engineer that happening. So how are we going to bring in 10 million? And how am I going to keep 500,000 of it after taxes and payroll and all that kind of stuff? And that's where coaching really gets into it, where you're just like, okay, how are we going to do this? Now, they're not going to have a very good answer on that. So let me help you coach them through it. By the way, I'm tricking you into thinking you're coaching your client. I'm coaching you on this episode.
It's like how you trick yourself, Don.
That's right. Yeah, I don't want to suggest to you that you should do anything. But let me tell you what you should do with your client.
Yeah.
You've got to, the only way to bring revenue up is to sell more products. So there's a second tier of goal here. And that goal is to identify how many of each product you need to sell to get to 10 million. That's it. So if you have 7 products, you're going to go through, and this is where you sit with your client. You say, okay, you guys are going to sell, you know, 50,000 bags of cat food and, you know, 10,000 of these cat toys and, you know, or whatever it is,
yeah,
you know, and that's going to get you to this 10 million. And then now your client can go, we're not going to sell 50,000 bags of cat food. And you say, okay, do you want to adjust your $10 million revenue? You want to make it 8.5? No, I really want 10 million. All right, well, now let's start being creative here. Is there another product that you can sell? Well, you know, it's not another product, but we can do a subscription service where if somebody subscribes to our cat food, you know, every 2 weeks they're going to get this. And okay, how many of those subscriptions do you need to sell? Well, 10,000 of them. Okay, so 10,000 is going to get you right around that $10 million. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So you're reverse engineering how we're going to get to the revenue goal.
Well, and the one thing, Don, that I don't want to step on your toes. So tell me if you're like, Bobby, I was getting to this. You're revealing the secret.
No, I love it.
But I want to celebrate you for a second. And I want to call out that actually in the book and what you're doing here is you're creating goals, but you're creating realistic goals.
Realistic.
Yeah. Where it's not like you said, where you're going, hey, every day I'm going to do a cold plunge for 10 minutes at 32.5 degrees. So it's right above freezing. And then you miss one day, or you do it for 2 minutes instead and you go, I'm a failure.
Yeah.
That's not realistic.
Yeah.
What you're doing is you're making it realistic. And that's what separates a goal that is achievable to a goal that is impossible or close to impossible to achieve.
I agree. And I think when we're talking about realistic goals and revenue, I kind of like the 20% number. I think our goal as a company, isn't it? It's about 20%.
That's the, it's 20% growth. Is that you're talking about? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're talking 20% just from where you are now.
Right.
Use that number. We want to get to the next step is going to be 20% of where we are now.
Right.
Okay.
I think a lot of people will go, well, we want to see 100% increase in revenue. And, you know, that's great, but that's just not very realistic. And so, by the way, 20% growth over 10 years is significant.
Sure.
You know, if I'm not mistaken, that'd be 200%.
Yeah.
Except there's some sort of compounding factor in there that my brain's not smart enough to figure out. But yeah, absolutely. So you want to set those goals, reverse engineer them. And there's categories. There's revenue and salary, right? Revenue and my take-home pay. That's the first one. Then there's number of each product sold. That's the second one. And then there's a third set of goals. And that is, how are people buying these products? So if I'm selling, you know, 20,000 bags of dog food and I want to sell 25,000, that's not going to happen by just wishing it. So now you got to say, okay, well, why are people buying the dog food? Well, they're buying dog food because, you know, they shopped at the store and then we got their email address and we emailed them and told them about this dog food. Okay, well, we would call that a lead measure. Mm-hmm. That is, we got that email address. And if we want to increase the number of, and we, let's say we sent out, you know, 40,000 of those last year, Well, we need to now send out 45,000 or 50,000 of those in order to trickle down into that 5,000 bag. You got to figure out why people are buying that. And this is a big deal for me, and it's going to be for most, almost every coach listening. They are already familiar with this. But it's something great to teach your clients, especially your clients who are new to business. There's a difference between a lead measure and a lag measure. A lead measure is a piece of data that signifies something happened that is going to lead to a sale. In other words, somebody downloaded a lead generator. Somebody attended my webinar. Somebody attended my live stream. Somebody attended my open house. Those are all leads, things that lead to sales. A lag measure is money that came in last month. And by lag, what that means is there's nothing I can do to change it. You know, if we made $1 million last month, I can't go, okay, well, let's go back. And if we can make 1.2 million last month,
right.
It's too late. And most people, they measure lag measures instead of lead measures. And measuring lead measures is much more valuable data than lag measures. Because if I say, well, you know, 5,000 people were supposed to download my lead generator this month, but only 4,000 did. Now I can work on something that is eventually going to affect my lag measure. I can say, okay, well, we need to place some ads, or we need to do some live streams, or I need to talk about, you know, that lead measure whenever I'm on somebody's podcast, or I need to include it in a keynote deck. So when I do breakout sessions, I'm leading people to that lead measure. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Do you think people chase after and really elevate and highlight the lag measure because it's a definitive firm
number
money, and they can show it and go, hey,
yes,
they can either celebrate it, that's their trophy, or, hey guys, this is, we need to get more, we need to get more. But they're getting stuck in the past instead of using that to then inspire them to go, okay, what can we be doing better?
That's exactly it.
Yeah.
There's a guy named Bill Walsh who coached the San Francisco 49ers back in the 90s and early 2000s, I think. And he wrote a book called The Score Takes Care of Itself. And that is exactly how we need to think about our goals. Your revenue is the score. But if you're sitting there going, hey guys, here's our game plan. We want to score more points than they do. You're going to lose.
Right.
You're going to lose every single game. But if you say, hey, we're going to be first off the ball. We're going to be first to tackle somebody behind the line of scrimmage. We're going to lead the league in sacks. And by the way, the way we're going to do that is we're going to alternate our defense so they never know what's coming at them. And we're also going to replace our defensive line and our secondary every three plays. So we've always got fresh legs in there. So now you start measuring how many defensive players are coming on and off the field because you know that leads to fresh legs, which leads to sacking the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're going to win. And what takes care of itself? The score.
Yeah.
You don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
So if you say, okay, well, all we're going to do is really highlight this lead measure and get it out there. And every time we end a podcast, we're going to talk about it. And every time I'm on somebody else's podcast, I'm going to talk about it. And every time I'm giving a keynote, I'm going to show that slide. That's the equivalent of taking players on and off the field to keep fresh legs in. You know, you're doing something that leads to, and the revenue will take care of itself.
Yeah.
So you want to measure revenue. You want to measure products sold. But you really want to measure and stay accountable on leads. And here's the other thing. A lot of people don't measure leads because they don't have any. They don't have any lead measures. They're just putting products out there hoping people like it. You start adding lead measures and you figure out what leads to a sale and you're going to love it. For instance, one of our lead measures is that people apply for our Coach Builder community. You know, if you apply for the Coach Builder community, here's a plug. If you apply for the Coach Builder community, you get a small group that helps you grow a six-figure coaching business. You get a plug-and-play CRM. You got all this great stuff. The application is actually a lead measure because there's no revenue involved in it. You know, if they meet with an account exec and want to take advantage of the program, then there's revenue. But it's a lead measure. But it's not an early enough lead measure. Book sales would be an earlier lead measure. Reading the book and then downloading a PDF would be a secondary early lead measure, and then an application. So then we go, okay, well, you know, we sold 1,000 books this month. Only 100 people downloaded the PDF that's available in the book. That's not a very good number. So let's go back and just sharpen the hooks. Let's actually make that more obvious in the book, in the next printing of the book. Let's seed it into maybe somewhere in the middle of the book. Now we're seeing 175 people. And that's how you grow a business.
Yeah.
Right. And then, well, those people downloaded the lead generator. Okay. That's really great. We send 8 emails 8 weeks in a row. What would happen if we extended that window for 16 weeks or 52 weeks? Oh, well, now we went from 20% of people who download our lead generator applying to 40%. All right, now 40% of people are getting a meeting with the account executive, but only 50% of that 40% are actually showing up for that meeting. All right, well, now let's send them a video that says, hey, if you show up for this call with our account executive, I, Donald Miller, are going to send you an autographed book. I'm either going to send you Coach Builder, or I'm going to send you Business Made Simple, or How to Grow Your Small Business. Heck, if you want, I'll send you Blue Like Jazz, right? Let's go all the way back.
Heck, if you want.
All you have to do is show up on the call and tell us which book that you want, and I'll mail it to you. Well, now we went from 50% showing up to 75% showing up. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So when you actually start reverse engineering, mm-hmm. that's called building a business. But if you aren't measuring or identifying those customer touch points and improving them, because you see the data, you're like, well, wait a second. 1,000 people bought the book, but only 100 people did this, you know, got the lead generator. Well, if you don't see that data, you can't improve it.
And you don't know where the pain point is or where that weak touch point is. Yeah,
that's exactly it. So you're always, you know, almost like an engineer building a machine. You're figuring out where the weak cogs are mm-hmm. and improving on those. So a great exercise, and this is going to come down to the plan of action here. In fact, we might as well go to it. You know, today's plan of action. First of all, you got to set goals. But today's plan of action is actually to map out the customer journey from the time they heard about you to the time they bought your product or one of your products. And then actually figure out which of those, how many of those touch points that you can identify and measure. And if you have a good CRM, the CRM is going to do it for you. The CRM is going to spit out a report saying this many people signed up. And then you start measuring those, and anything that's starting to look weak, you go in and you work on that part of the machine. And well, can we add a bonus here? Can we get a human being on the phone to call them? Can we send them a gift? Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, all those things are parts of improving your coaching business.
Well, and I've seen you, and I've seen our director of marketing, Marley Joseph. I've seen a handful of people on our leadership team looking at the dashboard that we put together that kind of tracks those things. And it almost becomes a game. I know that you've said that before. It's like gamifying. You go,
yeah.
Oh, the numbers, it's not hitting where we want to. Okay, guys, where do we go in? Yeah. How can we go in and almost sleuth out the situation and go, okay, cool. Well, let's create this new lead gen here. Or like you said, let's film this additional video or give this additional offering here. And then let's see, we'll A/B test it. Let's see what happens when we just send it out without it. Let's see what it does when we send it with that new video.
And you're right. It's gamifying. It's making it fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what it is. And you want to have fun growing your coaching business. You know, what you really want, you know, every coach's goal listening to this podcast, you want 100 people on your wait list. You want 100 people that you can't interact with right now. And by the way, when you get that thing sharp enough, I remember when we first started with the Coach Builder stuff, this is not true now. This is not true. So please give me a call. If you wanted to give me $10,000 to join my program, I couldn't talk to you for 6 weeks. We were full.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Now, that's a really great problem to have. And then you know how you get that problem? You map out your customer journey and you sharpen every single hook and you create incredible value at every touch point. By the way, if you want to give me 10 grand, I can take it right now. We've solved that problem. You know, so that's how you do it. That's how you build it. But I think too many of us sort of like want the big thing. Like, here's the vision for my coach, but we've not broken it down into the parts. And I remember, Bobby, you'll love this. Betsy and I went and saw, we did a one-day marriage intensive.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fantastic. It was just fantastic. My wife and I have this amazing, wonderful marriage. We've hardly ever argued in the 10 years that we've been together. We just see eye to eye about a lot of stuff. But I was like, you know, I don't pray for my marriage. So I started praying for our marriage. So we end up, you know, as part of like the lead measure to have a better marriage, We were like, let's sign up for a one-day intensive. I don't want to go to a marriage counselor. I don't want to do that. But we could do this one-day intensive. And like 3 or 4 times, Betsy mentioned, I would just like for you to take me on a lunch date. Not a date, a night date, a lunch date. Like in the middle of your work day, think about me.
Right, right.
And at one point, the therapist looked at me and he goes, hey, by the way, what do you think Betsy wants? I'm like, well, she wants some more attention. Blah, blah. Said, Don, you're overthinking
it. He's like, Don, what do you think she wants?
She wants a lunch date.
Oh, yeah.
And what does the lunch date do? Gives me the better marriage that I've been praying for.
It's a realistic expectation.
It is.
When you were resetting all of these lofty, I'm going to fix these huge umbrella goals for our marriage and I'll do this and I'll change this. And it's in the moment that you drop the ball on this crazy huge expectation, you think that you're a failure as a spouse, as a partner to Betsy.
Yeah.
And she just wants you to take her out for
lunch, Don. It's a lead measure.
It's a lead measure.
You know, so you could actually say, okay, if I take my wife to lunch at least once a month, preferably twice, we are going to have a great marriage. And if I will call a customer after they place an order and just say, thanks so much. And if you have any questions, here's my number. You can call me for a big ticket item.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have a great business. But you've got to figure out what those lead measures are. And not unlike my marriage, they are often obvious. They're often like, literally, the therapist said, okay, both of you take this index card. And Don, I want you to write what you want from Betsy. And then Betsy's going to write what she wants from you.
Mm-hmm.
And I wrote, you know, respect and gratitude is what I wrote. And she wrote, a lunch date.
A lunch date.
Okay, well, I don't think,
circled five times.
Yeah, I don't think that could be any more obvious. May we all have such simple and easy to please wives, right?
When it comes down to it, really, it is that thing of going, I just want a lunch date. Whatever, figuratively and metaphorically.
To have a wife who's not like being quiet about it.
And secretly
wishing. Boy, we give a lot of relationship advice on this business podcast.
I was going to say, we just recorded an episode of Business Made Simple before this one that mirrored both business advice that could be mirrored as relationship advice.
Yeah,
it's the same with this one. It's that, I mean, we talked a couple episodes ahead of this one about talking about, hey, Bobby, have you been, were you a love him or leave him type of boyfriend?
Right.
I was like, what are we, I thought we were talking about step three.
We should do relationships made simple. We should do that. All right, I already gave you the plan of action, and basically it's to identify all of those customer touch points. And so if you're looking for the plan of action on this episode, get out a list and give me all of the sort of customer touch points that lead to a sale. And then on as many of those as possible, establish measurable goals. This many people will download the lead generator. This many people will call our SDR. This many will get passed through to the account executive, which will turn into this many orders. Then you want to measure those for a month or two, and then you can start improving them. How can we actually sharpen these hooks and make the customer journey that much easier? If you do that inside of a coaching business, and by the way, the coaching business is, but if you're a Coach Builder member, we have a CRM for you that's plug and play. So you can measure how many email addresses you're putting into that CRM, how many people are actually opening those. If they're not opening those, let's start adjusting the subject line. How many people are actually calling you for the business assessment, the My Business Report assessment, which is one of the other things we give you at Coach Builder. Then how many of those are turned into clients? It's not good enough just to say there's a revenue goal. You've got to reverse engineer and strategically plan on how you're going to sack the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Because we can't let those guys score. And not wanting those guys to score does not stop them from scoring.
Right, right.
Sacking the quarterback stops them from scoring. So we've got to figure out how we're going to break that down into the sum of its parts and then measure those parts. And with that, I hope that I wish you the absolute best in building a coaching business. You know, there's not been very many times when I've done an exercise like that when we haven't hit our marks. You know, you just have to have a plan. It's not magic. Goal setting is not magic. It just, well, all it does is calls your attention to do something that is going to make that happen. That's all a goal really is, right? Everything else is just sort of wishful thinking. All right, everybody, thanks for joining me for this Coach Builder Limited series where we are obsessed with helping you turn your knowledge and passion into a thriving coaching business. See you next week.